please don't get weary in prayer. And I would just really encourage you, if you have 5 minutes that you can take and go see them, that would be a really big encouragement. If he's sleeping, just write your name on the board, but they always are really thankful when people stop by. So please keep praying for Jim and Jan. Simple Churches, I was telling Dave and Darlene yesterday, and they're like, hey, we didn't really realize this. So I know that sometimes we assume that most people are in the Simple Churches, but these times of getting together at the Kellys on Monday night, at the Gordons and McCloskeys on Wednesday nights, and then also at the Woodards on Thursday nights. These are really important times just to be able to be connected in some relationships that I really think are helpful if you want to grow relationally with Jesus, but also just grow in connection here. So I would encourage you to, if you're not like connected there, I would encourage you to make sure that you check out one of those. If you have any questions about see me or see one of the people we talked about hosting this week. Man, Summer in the Grove wrapped up this week. All the babies, yeah. And Colty also, there's a picture of Colty I didn't put up. I should put that picture up. Yeah, Colty was striking a pose. Maybe next week we'll just put that up we'll come up with something for that. I don't know what we should caption that for an announcement. I don't know. It's just like Colty. It was awesome. A couple things. So just please be praying for the people who went through Summer in the Grove. Mariah was here for a few minutes before she left this morning. Haley is getting ready to... When do you head out, Haley, tomorrow? Haley heads out tomorrow. Katie's got some big transition coming up. Colty, just lots of transition, lots of things happening, lots of things going on. I need you to be praying for them. I want to send an update. I know I mentioned this last week. There were some people who circumstances changed and they were not able to pay their full amount. Let me be really honest with you what that means. There's not like a big fund for Summer in the Grove. Like we pretty much every year we're able to either have people pay for or raise scholarships. This year we didn't think we need to raise as much, but there's some things that happen. The difference that I need you to either, like I need you to pray and participate however you can, but as Katie stepped away from Beans this year, there was commitments we made to her financially based on everybody being able to pay. When people were not able to do that, what right now the biggest need that we have is Katie being able to get her paycheck. So this is not like, oh, we'll replenish the Summer in the Grove account. Like this is Katie being able to, she has done everything and more that we asked for her to do. And so would you please be praying? And if you're able to give to some scholarship money for some people, it was really, every year at our banquet, I just sit and listen to what God has been doing in people's lives. And every year I'm like, there's a reason why we do this. There's a reason why we take time every summer to invest, because God shows up in ways that are bigger than we can. So this is not a pressure thing. This is not a guilt thing. There are some people who weren't able to follow through on what they had genuinely intended to do. And because of that, we have a need to make sure we raise the rest of this money. So can you be praying? I sent out emails and text messages, and we had some really good responses from that, but we still need a couple $1,000 to come in to take care of everything that needs to be done for Summer in the Grove. So if you have questions about that, you can see me. If you don't have any questions and you say, hey, I got 10 bucks I can give, or I got 100 bucks I can give, you can use the fastest way to do this. The easiest way is you can use the Cash App and just hashtag AOX, and then you can put Summer in the Grove in the reminder. All right, the bridge is coming up in just a few weeks. I really want to encourage you guys, how many of you were here for lunch last week? Okay, a couple of, only like three people were here for lunch. It seemed like more. thank you. Thank you for your late hand raising. It was still better than no hand raising, Beckham. How many of you saw what's happening in the news this week in Charlottesville? You guys aware of what's happening? Anybody not aware of what's happening? Okay. Then Friday night, there was a white supremacist march in Charlottesville that came close to the University of Virginia. And my understanding from talking to someone yesterday is they, the campus security said it was unlawful gathering. And these people basically came to stir up trouble. And so yesterday there was another rally for the white supremacist group, and then there was a protesters, and a young man from Ohio drove his car into a crowd of people, killed one person, injured another 19. There was a helicopter crash where some police officers were responding to some things happening. A helicopter crash, two police officers lost their lives. And it's just it's another place, you know. So last night there was a lot of a lot going on just in the media and on social media about race and about culture and people's, you know, the arguments have started again. You know, all the back and forth that goes on in these types of situations, and it's just not God's heart. It's just not God's heart. And so part of what has formed behind the bridge is through relationship last year. How many of you guys remember what was happening last year when with the police shootings? And like in there was shootings in Dallas and in Minnesota, and there was just different things going on. And in the midst of that time, I began to grow friendship with Donald Clay down at Petra. And as we walked through the end of the summer and walked into the election season, we just both carry a conviction that I know that's not unique to us, but we carry conviction, and then whenever we start talking about the bridge, and here's the conviction, is the church should have a different option than just the arguments. The church should like be able to put on display. I remember last year reading in our word group when we were reading through James, the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. And whenever the only way to respond to something that we see is unjust is for different sides to hit the streets and rally and protest, like the church isn't showing up with an option that brings heaven to earth. And so beyond just racial issues, beyond generational issues, beyond gender issues, the heart behind what we're doing September 1st, 2nd, and 3rd is to see God restore family, see God restore family in the church, but actually see the family be strengthened. This is, I need you to, can you lean in? Because this is more than an announcement. This is kind of like, we're going to talk about hunger this morning. I had a conversation with Saria that was really important to me this week. I'm not going to try to teach this morning. We want to ask a question that Hannah was kind of knocking at our door this morning, leading us in worship. But I want you to lean in and engage with this. I was sitting this week, a really weird meeting. I was sitting with three bankers, three people from the world of finance. I guess two were working with a bank. One operates a large, or I guess a mid-sized financial firm. And we were talking about life and the church and culture. And one of the guys who has been in finance for about 20 years, and he's transitioning to be a church planter in Austin, Texas, he said, he was hearing our heart about this stuff. And he was hearing our heart about what God is doing. And he said to me, I was invited to a secret meeting in February in Washington, D.C. And he said it was just a group of leaders. I knew we were going to go pray in the Capitol. He said, what I didn't know is there were members of the Senate and the House of Representatives who joined us. And several of them had been in ministry. And felt like God was leading them to leave ministry to go into Congress. And as they, you know, each of these guys got up and shared just a little bit about what was in their heart and how they wanted these pastors to pray. And honestly, sometimes when I hear about meetings like this, I get a little bit skeptical because I'm like, just don't want it to be like political, you know, and sometimes that's what happens. But there were no cameras there. There was like this guy, like, you know, he wouldn't even tell us the name of the people that were saying this. This was like a quiet thing. He said, but I stood up there as the senator that I've known of for years, and I watched him just weep. And he said, if there's one thing that you can do, if there's one thing that the church needs to rally around, it's strengthening the family. It's asking to see God's plan and strength for family to be restored. And I just believe that, you know, I really don't know what all is going to happen in September. I could tell you people that are coming. I can tell you worship leaders that are coming. I can tell you some spiritual moms and dads that are coming. But I don't know if there's going to be 200 people there or 1,000 people there or 20. All I know is there's some people who really feel like that beyond, you know, beyond our little bubble of Grove City, there are more people who believe that God wants to restore family. And I don't see that disrespectfully to what God's doing here, but it's like this is something God's speaking into the earth. It's not something that we're tapped into that's different. It's not a different Holy Spirit. Everybody's not hearing it. Everyone in church doesn't think this is important. But there's going to be 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, to pray, to worship, to get on our faces before God, but also to share meals together, to build into our lives more fabric that goes beyond us. I am asking you, I really appreciate some of you last week, is like during the lunch, you got out your phones and you registered. I appreciate it. If you've not yet registered, please make yourself available to be a part of that weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I would love for as many of us to be there as possible. If you need housing, let me know. I will do whatever I can to cooperate. But we're doing kind of the same thing again, where I don't want to tell Petra 2 days before that people want to show up. We've been talking about this for 4 or 5 months. You can make a decision. But don't plan to wait to make the decision. I'm saying it's more important than that. So please don't wait. Our worship team will be involved in leading one of the worship times. But I don't want you just to show up just to be there for a set. I want you to come and be a part of it. Come and be a part of it, okay? Is there any questions on that? Abigail, can you do me a favor real quick? I think my bag is back there. Can you give me the Passion Translation out of my bag? So help us this week. Hopefully on Tuesday, we'll send out a message. Bear's going to help coordinate some stuff. We'll send out a message to everybody about practical things that we need help doing, ways we need to be praying. But please help us mobilize and be a part of this. I really am doing everything I can to say this is important. It's not just words. It's not just a gathering. Please make space to be there, okay? All right. So this morning, I want... Yes. Okay, go ahead, Adrian. What did they say? Okay. All right, so Jerry and Crystal got their people got financing. They are going to close at the end of the month. They've got their apartment secured. They'll be moving here the weekend of the 26th. So what we just heard, if some of you heard it, the good news of the gospel of pizza and donuts for those who are helping. So DeRosa's, if you're maybe even able to check and see if you can maybe help load down there, either Friday or Saturday in Elwood. They're moving from Elwood here. But they need help getting here. So if we can help them, Jerry and Crystal don't really have, I mean, they have lots of friends, but like they've really made a decision to be a part of this family. And so they're on the front side of that. I know they've been trying to figure out how they can hang out with people, and they go in spurts where they're traveling and doing ministry. But let's really try to come around them. I want to say this. How many of you saw the importance of sending people when we were sending out David and Candace? Did you see that? Raise your hand. Everybody who saw that, raise your hand. Yes. I remember an early conversation that we were having when we were forming AOX, and Jesse made the statement, it's not only important for us to send people well, it's important for us to receive people well. And it's important for us to do that when people come for a visit. She actually wanted the sending fund to be used for sending and receiving. And I think that as we receive Jerry and Crystal, they're making a big commitment to move here. I'm asking you, you don't know them as well as you knew David and Candace, right? So it's not going to feel like the same kind of like emotional connection. I'm just saying it's important for us to alter our lives to make room for people. So if you have a value of sending, I'm asking you to take that value you have for sending and turn it into a value for receiving and figure out a way that you can help them. If you're not available that day, message them. Find out. These guys are, you know, they're learning about community. And so how many of you have seen like all the Facebook stuff they're posting? You know, they've got tons of people they could give that away to, like, but their heart is there anyone in our spiritual family that could use this? And so just try to be ready for that. Saria, can we talk a little bit? Like, I'm not gonna put you on the spot right now, but can you be ready to, like, let's share a little bit about what you were talking about the other day? Lord bless you and keep you. Cause your face not to glare at me as we talk about this. But, let's just start. I'm going to ask this question. What does spiritual hunger look like? Yes. I'm not preaching a sermon. I said we're not going to teach today. We're just going to ask a question. I want everybody to be close so you can hear each other's voices. So what does spiritual hunger look like? Their hearts are, yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yes, Hannah. That's good. Yes, Jesse. Just say that again. Hey, kids, you have to be quiet, okay? We're having a conversation. You have to be quiet, even more quiet than normal, okay? Just whisper back there. All right, say it loud, Jesse. That was good. That's good. Can everybody hear? Okay. Make sure you're speaking out, okay? Loretta, and then we'll do Abigail. Okay. Constant need. Abigail. Okay, so we're going to take maybe two or three more, and then we'll talk about what we've learned so far, and I really want to ask God to help us tangibly. So I see Darlene, JL, oh, got some hands over here, so we'll go around as quickly as we can. Go ahead, Darlene. Okay. That's good. We're going to write a book out of all this stuff. Okay. Huh. Just Derek, I see your hand. Okay, it's very good. JL. Okay. Janine, what were you going to say? Dylan, do you have something? Well. Truth is out there. Show me love. Well, we're going to come back to that in a second, Janine. Ray, what do you got? My God. The look on Colty's face just now was so amazing. I'm sorry, Colty. It was a potato chip omelet, people. Come on. So I think one of the issues that we have with spiritual hunger that we need to figure out how we can step into and tap into together is there's a sense where David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters.
He restores my soul. And a lot of the theme of David's 23rd Psalm leads to this place of he satisfies me. There's plenty of scriptures that talk about that. He satisfies me. But yet the same guy says, hey, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you. And so there's this place that I thought we had a lot of good answers. But in this idea of, hey, sometimes I'm hungry before I even know what's available. What Abby said I thought was really interesting. Like, hey, how many of you make a plan for hunger? Like you go grocery shopping. Why? Because you have a plan for hunger. And I think it's time for us to say, what is our plan for hunger? What is our plan to be hungry for him? I think one of the problems is we can often, you know, let's just take a couple of things. I want your favorite food. Just throw out your favorite food. Let's get like five people to throw that out quick. Lobster, pizza. Lobster, pizza, apple pie, sushi, steak. What? Somebody needs to get some vegetables up in here. Steak salad. Celery. Oh, come on. Hot peppers. All right. Let's imagine. Everybody imagine. Sarah, do you know what your favorite food is? Can you picture that thing? Okay. Can you come up here? Can you come participate? And then Paxton. Did you already say your favorite food? Okay, I need you to get a different favorite food in your mind, okay? You guys come stand. So stand right here next to me. Whoop, whoop. Okay, we're going to do this real quick. What I want you to do, you have a favorite food in your mind. I'm still thinking. All right. Listen, Paxton's had a lot of experience, so we got to give him some time to search the deep things of God. All right. Man, that's incredible. Bless him, Lord. Hey, now. Okay. So here's what I want you to do. One word or like one phrase at a time, without saying what it is, I want you to describe what your meal is like. Okay? All right.
Well, it's protein.
Mashed.
Okay, that's good. So the thing is going to be, when you think you know what they're talking about, you can call it out. Wow, John, that's amazing. Go ahead, and you can back and sit down. Can I have another volunteer? Okay, Dylan, why don't you come up real quick? Dylan, okay, you gotta give us one word to describe your favorite thing. Don't tell us what it is. Just give us one word. Peas describes what it is. All right. Everybody give a hand to Dylan for describing. Hannah, why don't you come up? Dylan, you can stand here with us if you want. Okay. All right. Ready? So just give us one word.
Spicy.
All right.
Brown.
My God.
Orange.
Wow. Oh, my God.
No, it's not.
Wow.
Mm.
Amen. She said protein and brown. She said spicy and orange, okay? Now I want you to think as descriptively, try to entice hunger in your words.
Creamy.
Ginger.
Sweet.
Savory.
Curry. All right. Cool. All right. All right. Let's keep going with Sarah here.
I might run out of stuff.
The Protown.
It's Protown.
Protein brown.
It's Protown.
Crispy, savory.
Tender. I said ginger. I don't know. It's a sauce.
Talk about the sauce.
Okay. I guess you could say tangy. No. I don't know. Tangy, brown.
Tangy and brown.
Oh, wow. Proof of the lack of culture in our community. Wow.
You should know if it's there.
You can't repeat.
Brown, ginger, sauce. I don't know what else. Teriyaki. Marinade.
Teriyaki marinade, that's good. Beef?
Maybe, but not my favorite.
Not your favorite? Okay. I'm trying to think of... People got the Google out. The spirit of Google's here. We're trying to look up.
I don't know what else to say without you.
All right, well, tell us what it is.
It's chicken katsu.
Oh, I was thinking about... You should have said egg. If you just said egg, I would have got it. I put egg on my chicken katsu. That's the way the Asians taught me. Yeah. All right, you guys can sit down. You can sit down. All right, here's the thing. Chicken katsu and curry. All right. So here's the deal, guys. Listen. How many of you know that chicken katsu, what kind of curry are we having specifically over here? What kind of curry are we having? Thai curry with what protein? Okay, so we both got chicken. But how many of you know what it takes to make Thai chicken curry is different than chicken katsu, right? You're seeing some what would you have to do differently? Think about this. What's that? A different recipe, and that would lead to doing what? Different ingredients, a different process. Got to go to a different town. Yeah. Head to the strip, get some mocha while you're there. So hunger doesn't always look the same. And the way we express hunger doesn't all look the same. But one of the things that we are learning right now is coming up under each other's grace. Listen to me. I think this is very important. I got convicted a couple weeks ago during Summer in the Grove, because Laura was debriefing an assignment, and she described how it was a week we were talking about some prophetic stuff, and she described how Bear had come over either Monday or Tuesday night, and she just like came up under his grace for boldness. Now, you gotta understand, I know Laura, and I'm thinking, like, this is an amazing woman of God. And whenever I heard the level of, like, conviction in her heart about humbling herself under Bear's grace, I got convicted in my heart. Does that make sense? So it's one thing for us to talk about coming up under someone's grace. It's another thing for me to say, how can I recognize the grace that's in Haley and submit to that grace? We talked last week after Ephesians chapter 5. Man, I'm sleep deprived this week. That's what I'm hungry for. Listen, I need you back at the end. We're going to pray for my knee. We'll pray for anybody else who has physical problems. Like, I haven't been able to sleep this week because my knee's been jacked up. And I'll tell you, when people start talking about hunger, I'm just thinking, I'm hungry for sleep. Like, to be able to sleep for a few hours consecutively. Why? Because I have an appetite and I was created for it. Listen, it's good when we want to see change. When we want to see change, it's good for us to hunger. It is also good, what Sari was saying, to grow in a place where whether things are good or not, we don't become complacent when we're satisfied. We become hungry for more. But we need to begin to make a plan for hunger. And part of what I want to say is we all need to humble ourselves and recognize that what hunger has looked like historically for me does not mean that that's what it looks like for everyone. And it's not enough for me just to have chicken curry all the time. I might get satisfied by my hunger, by the way that I hunger, but listen, this is important. God created us in a way that as we are knit together, we become susceptible to the way that he made somebody else different. He put us into a body where, like, if I were to ask you, and I'm not going to, but if I were to ask you to name your favorite appropriate to mention body part, okay? And we were to start having a conversation about noses and ears and thumbs and shoulder blades. Like, there's, like, value and virtue to every one of those things. But God did not make a body full of thumbs. And he did not make a body that was full of kneecaps. He placed us in a body where each joint supplies the need of the other. But in growing in hunger, I think we have to do, like, two things this morning. One, make a plan for hunger. And two, recognize that hunger does not always look the same. And so to really grow in hunger, I think what Lindsay said, like, I think hunger requires humility. Hunger requires us living in a place where we say that no matter how good it's been, there's still something to hunger for. Every time, I see Abby is a list person. She likes lists. She'd be like, all right, we'll be driving down the road. She's like, okay, name the top five places we've ever visited. Does anybody think like that? You like to think about that kind of thing? And yes, Abby thinks like that. Okay, mommy and daddy, name your top three bites ever. Your favorite thing you've ever had to eat ever. And I have got several different things I like to eat. But there was this time that we were with Derek and Laura. And we got lamb chops. Some of you have heard this story, and I'm not going to go into it in full detail now, but the lamb chops were so good, it was dangerous. It was dangerous for our testimony because we all began to eat those pork chops, lamb chops in a way that caused us to be able to know how hungry we were. Adrian was telling the story again this week. We were all, like, it was at the end of our meal. We were pretty full. We decided to stay there till we could eat some more. It was good. Like, it was at this place where you have the little medallion, you turn it over from red to green when you want them to bring you food. Listen, I'm just going to tell you, it's expensive. But I was 40 years old before I found out there's restaurants where men in funny pants bring you meat on a sword. Brazilian steakhouse, yes. Mark, we should do it. We should sell something and go eat this food. Listen. There's no way I should have been 40 years old. These guys in these funny Brazilian pants come with meat on swords. And they brought all you can eat. And you just tell them when you're done by taking the green little medallion and you turn it over, it's got red on the other side. Several of us had already flipped to red. But when those lamb chops came out, everybody flipped to green. They were so good. Listen, but I have eaten things since then. And it would not be good if all I ate were those lamb chops. Does that make sense? Listen, we cannot go from amazing experience to amazing experience without having a plan for hunger. What is your hunger plan? What would we call it if you didn't eat because you never thought about getting food? What would we call that in the natural? Margaret and Andy aren't here because they're married and on the way to Vegas. That's why. Lord bless them. If Jessie just decided she was done grocery shopping, and she just decided that, like, well,
we get hungry, we'll just have to wait till God provides. What would you call that? Negligence, stupidity, anything else?
What?
Anorexia? Starvation? Okay. To abuse? What's that? Okay, here's the thing. We all have a plan for hunger. If you fast, then there's even typically a plan for fasting. But what is the plan that we're creating to hunger? This week, we as a family read through John 14, 15, 16, and 17. Last week, I'd ask everybody to do that. I don't know if that was something that sometimes I think I make things really clear, and I don't know if they are. But that was what I was really hoping that people could go over in their simple churches this week, and what you could just go under asking two questions. Who does Jesus say the Holy Spirit is, and what does he say that he wants to do? And guys, I've read that passage in the last, when we started reading that in Summer in the Grove, maybe 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. I feel like I've probably read that maybe like six or seven times personally, and then we read it through twice this week as a family. There's a place that as I hear about the Holy Spirit, it's like, man, it's like, that's not enough just to read. Like we're reading through a couple chapters at a time. It's like, man, I got to make space for more. I got to make space for more. I got to make space to grow this hunger. The hunger that's in your life. Saria was saying to me that like, you know, whenever people want to grow, like whether it's like leading worship in other places, it's like, it's easy sometimes to want to try to find somebody who can help you grow. And that's not wrong. But she was talking about when she really started growing in worship, she was telling about a time that she and Jasmine were down in the basement with a credit card and pizza box going after the Lord. Just going after the Lord in worship. I remember whenever Saria lived across the street from me at the duplex, there was a morning I walked outside about 8:15 in the morning. All the windows were closed, but I could hear Saria worshiping from like 50 yards away. With the windows closed. Some of you who were around the duplex at that time, you heard David praying, whether you were, I don't know, whether you were here or in Pittsburgh or wherever you were. There was a while that David was praying, especially in the middle of the night. Everybody knew it. And you were aware of the, Doug's like, yes, I remember that. Now, if hunger only looks like that, if hunger only looks like being that loud, Lindsay, are you hungry? What does it look like whenever you get that loud? Okay, talk about it. I want to hear. I want to know. Because I see the hunger in your life. And what do you say to him when you're worshiping? What are some of the things that are? Okay. I remember reading about crying out. It was like right after we moved to Pennsylvania, maybe a year or two after we moved to Pennsylvania. I remember reading about crying out, and I realized I've never really cried out the way that the Bible talks about crying out. And I would be in a church, and I would be like, yay, Jesus! And I was like, that was good. But it's like, that still wasn't really what the scripture said about crying out. And so I tried to do it. I couldn't do it. It meant to cry out with all of your might, with all of your volume, an ear-piercing blast. And at that time in my life, I just had a hard time. I was like, that's just not me. That's not, I'm not comfortable with that. So I end up going, Doug, down just past Sam and Joyce's farm. And I went down into that part of McConnell's Mill, that little side area. And I walked into the woods, and I got to the place where I couldn't see anybody. And I was like, hello? Nobody say anything back? I just began to cry out with all of my heart.
in all of my might. And something broke in me where there was like a, like, the word that comes to my mind is like a governor. Whenever I was an athlete and we would play sports, we would drive buses to games, and the buses could only go 55 miles an hour because there was a governor on there that regulated how fast it could go. The engine itself was powerful enough to go more than that, but there was a regulator, right? I had to break the regulator in my life. Does that make sense? And when that happened, it released something in me where then it's not like I don't go around always screaming at the top of my lungs. I don't think screaming equals hunger. But restriction does not equal hunger. Being held back. Now, I'm not talking about being focused in what you're eating, but being at a place where I'm limiting myself does not equal hunger. Does that make sense? Okay. So I would really encourage you, what can you do to remove restrictions? What can you do to recognize hunger in people around you and submit yourself to the hunger? Because I will tell you, we haven't had it happen in a while, but I remember people, you know, and it's not just in our church, but I have never had someone who I see live a lifestyle of worship complain to me because they don't like the way the worship leader's leading. But if you rely on someone else to lead you to your experience, then you will often critique whether or not they served you good enough lamb chops. But if you cultivate a lifestyle where you're hungry all the time, then you know how to come and contribute, and the worship leader could be having a bad day, and maybe they're not serving very good lamb chops, and you're helping them make it better because you're coming and you're bringing your hunger into the room. So sometimes hunger looks like Sarah standing back going, come on! And sometimes it looks like Lindsay just like, typically, wherever Lindsay's at, I don't know if she always stands under the light, but the light comes to her, you know, and she's just standing there, her eyes are closed, you know, and it's like she should be on the front of a boat or something, you know. Yeah, it's like, man. Or, man, we have people who go sit at the back of the room and they'll journal. I was watching Jesse today. Jesse wasn't doing anything today that was drawing attention to herself. But I was watching Jesse today, and there was a place where Hannah was like leading, I think spontaneously, and just Jesse's just there, and she's like, I don't know if she's praying in the spirit, she's praying, but she's looking at something, and it wasn't anything in the room. So hunger doesn't look all the same. Do you hear what I'm saying? We need to be as comfortable being still and silent as we do whenever we need to dance around the room. But if we put restrictions on our heart and say, oh, that's not me, that's not the way God made me, then what will happen is we'll limit hunger. And I just want to say, we need to make a plan. We need to make a, listen. When we don't make a plan to hunger together, it's not much different than Jesse saying, I'm not going to the store again. If God wants to show up, he will. I'm afraid that we've allowed sometimes a view of God's sovereignty to affect our view of hunger. And sometimes we think, well, if God wants to show up, he will. No, God always wants to show up. Now, God showing up looks different. I had someone ask me a question this week. I really appreciated it. Hey, do I'm supposed to be hungering for a certain thing? Yeah, hunger for him, that might look different. I imagine Loretta comes and just drops bombs on me throughout the month. She'll just come and say, hey, the Lord was speaking to me this week and said this. Or I was thinking this week and I remember something you said 4 weeks ago and you said this and the Holy Spirit said this. I would imagine that the language that God speaks to Loretta and the way that they have communion together, that hunger for Loretta looks different than it does for Katie. But I need what God brings to Loretta in the midst of hunger. Does that make sense? I need to be in a place because I was created for it, not because there's something wrong. Listen, when you lose your appetite, that's not a sign of health. When you go and visit Jim right now, one of the things you'll see is like he has lost his appetite. He's lost the ability to really crave and hunger for food. So he doesn't want to eat. That's not a sign of health. Do you hear what I'm saying? Guys, just we're going to be done in just a few minutes, but don't check out. I was created to be hungry, and I was created to be in the midst of a hungry people. Do you hear me? We need to cultivate a plan for hunger together. I'm encouraging you, like, not to allow, whether it's what we do here on Sunday mornings, what happens in a simple church, what happens when you get together with some friends and pray. Listen, there's still people that come and meet here on Wednesday mornings and pray. If you can't come here, that's fine. But you better be getting some time with someone on a regular basis that you're praying with. It is important. Listen, there are times in my life where people have recognized, hey, Brad, what's going on? Because they've been spending time in prayer with me, and they recognize through the times of prayer, hey, are you okay? Is everything all right? At the same time, they've recognized good things in me as we've prayed together. Does that make sense? So we're not trying to make a bunch of different, like, oh, everybody, here's a new initiative, here's a new program, everybody go start 5 times a week, meeting with people 15 minutes a day, pray. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying make space and make time to get with someone and pray together. Make space and make time to get with someone and let them know what's happening along your journey. Dave, can you come up here for a second? Hold on for just a second, Dave. I feel like I want to read just like 4 verses out of Ephesians chapter 5. I'm reading just 15 down to like, I think 20. So be careful how you live, not foolish as those with no understanding, but live honorably with true wisdom, for we are living in evil times. Take full advantage of every day as you spend your life for his purposes. And then you will have discernment to fully understand God's will. And don't get drunk with wine, which is rebellion. Instead, be filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And your hearts will overflow with a joyful song to the Lord Jehovah. Keep speaking to each other with words of scripture, singing with psalms, with praises, in spontaneous songs begun by the Spirit. Always give thanks to God for every person he brings into your life in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you honor Christ by yielding to one another. Be tenderly devoted to each other in love. Can we pray for you some more? Can I tell them a little bit what happened yesterday? So yesterday, several of us, Ben and Bear and Derek, myself, we were the Peace Patrol. And we went with Dave to go get some stuff. They have decided that they're planning on staying here. They have an apartment that they're planning on getting coming up at the beginning of the month, and they moved some stuff into a storage unit. And, man, Dave just had a rough week where there was a lot of worry and anxiety. But at the end of the time yesterday, I said, Dave, would you like to get rid of that fear and that anxiety? And what did you say?
Yes.
Yes. And so, hey, guys, I need you, hey, Adeline and Olivia, Eleanor, just be quiet, okay? So at the end of the time, I said, hey, you want to break up with fear and anxiety? And you said?
Yes.
And I said, do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And you said?
Yes.
Okay. Now, early on in this conversation we were having, I don't know if it was Hannah, someone said, hunger is about being filled. Hunger is because there's a need. I'm going to tell you that what we're learning right now, I know you guys think like, wow, we've been in Ephesians for so long. This is so frustrating. I'm telling you, listen, I know you've been in Ephesians. I'm praying that God gets Ephesians into us. There's so much that we're dealing with right now. Please don't think that you've got everything you can get. Please don't check out. We are dealing with everyday life scenarios that are making the words mean something more. Dave has been very honest. He needs, like, for a long time, fear and anxiety has had a big spot in this man's life. He served our country. He went through some really hard things there.
I don't blame the government, but the government's best plan for him is just to try to keep adjusting medications, right? And I think that we should have something different to offer him. But Dave can't afford to live in a place where he needs to be filled with something. He doesn't see any hungry people. He needs to like be like around people who are like, hey, I got some extra. I've been hungry for a while, so I got some extra I want to share with you. My life is going to overflow on your life. And because every day I got a hunger plan. See, I got a hunger plan to be filled with the Spirit and then not wait till the conference next month to go get filled with the Spirit again. I got a plan. I got a hunger plan, and it's to get filled with the Holy Spirit and then not wait till Wednesday to Simple Church to get filled again. I'm not going to wait till our next worship night. I'm not going to wait until Sunday. I got a hunger plan to be filled and keep being filled, to be crammed and keep being crammed, so that when I see Dave, he can't help but get overflowed. Do you hear what I'm saying? Guys, this isn't a game. Dave's not the only person here who needs this. But last night it was beautiful. It was, there was Darlene and Ben and Bear and Derek and I. We were standing around him. The Lord told me when we got to the storage unit to turn on Jason Upton's Faith album. And we got ready to pray, and this song came on that was talking about all the things that we had just been talking about restoring him to a place of childhood, about restoring and letting hope arise in his life. And I'm like, man, God is just kind. I wasn't trying to script that out. God is good. But is it okay if people pray with you right now? Can we come and gather around him? And I want you to pray. I want you to pray for Dave to be filled. And at the same time, I want you to pray, God, come and be, produce in me a hunger that'll allow me to have plenty to share. Produce in me a hunger that becomes like I'm demanding that I have a plan. I'm like going to the grocery store and getting something because I have a plan to eat. I know this isn't pretty, guys. This isn't trying to be a message. I'm just saying, let's ask God to do something. As we pray for Dave to be filled, to overflowing. Dave, you still want fear and anxiety to be out of your life? Yes. Guys, we walked through this yesterday. I believe he is sincere. He does not want to be ruled by anything anymore. He asked yesterday for Jesus to come and be the king of his heart, to be the leader of his life. So God, right now, in Jesus' name, it's not because we just have our hands extended, but Father, we have our hearts extended to heaven and to Dave. God, make us hungry. God, I don't want to be talking about lamb chops 5 years from now. I want to remember everything you're God. That did satisfy, that bite satisfied. But God, we are hungry and we want to be hungry for more. God, you have been good. I look around and I see the testimonies of Jesus. There have been times you've been so good to us. God, we recognize that. But God, we want to live in an ongoing, growing hunger. Let's just take some time. Just begin to pray out over Dave. Just maybe 4 or 5 people, just pray out over him and pray out over us.
Oh, we hunger for you.
Yeah, God, just come and stir our hearts. God, may we plan for hunger. I pray that we would be convicted to begin to prepare and plan for hunger. God, come against complacency. God, come. We come against spiritual anorexia. In Jesus' name.
My soul, oh my soul.
I thank you, God. Just sing one more time, I will taste.
I will taste. See that you are good. I will taste. See that you are good. I will taste, see that you are good, good to me. I will taste, see that you are good. I will taste, see that you are good. Taste, see good to me.
Thank you, God. We just recognize that we have to be filled with you. It's not possible for us to follow Jesus without the help of the helper that he said he would send us so we could. So Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would make room. God, I pray that every one of us, that we would plan to see you make room in our lives for more of you, God. That we would be more fully surrendered and yielded. God, thank you that you have us. Thank you that we have you. But God, in the walking of it out, you must increase. We must decrease. God, I pray that as we are convicted about what Dave needs, every one of us would realize we need you just as much. There's not one of us here that doesn't need you. God, we need you more than the air we breathe. We need you more. God, so any fantasy that we're living in that we think that we have grown self-sufficient, God, come and strike at our fantasy this week. Come and strike at any thought that would allow us to believe that we don't need you. Grow our dependency for you, God. Grow the fire in our heart. Yeah, so I just bless you as we go today. We bless you. Pray that you would know that the light of the King's face is shining on you. And he will never leave us nor forsake us, but that's not a reason to be complacent. So walk in the Spirit this week. Keep step for step with the Spirit this week. Pray with the Spirit this week. And just lean into him. God, cultivate that in our hearts this week, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Blessings.